Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 8, picking up where we were last week. And this is the seventh part of my series, Fulfilled and Astonished. I want to get to verse 18, but I want to start at verse 13 to get the narrative. "And Jesus said unto the centurion, Go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. And when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her. And she arose and ministered unto them. When the even, or evening, was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils. And he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which is spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Now when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave commandment to depart unto the other side." Heavenly Father, please help us today. Please give us understanding. Help us to see and understand the text that we read. As the eunuch, the Ethiopian eunuch, said on his way back home, right after the day of Pentecost, "How can I understand except someone show me?" Well, Lord, show us today. Please help us to understand your word. Please reveal Jesus Christ to us through the word. Help us to take note of what it says and what it means, that we would better know how to live for God and how to please him. And Lord, I'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. What we see here is a common theme. In verse 1 through 4, we've already seen that Jesus didn't draw attention to himself. And a few weeks ago, I taught on that and taught extensively. Why did Jesus so often tell people to be quiet about their healing or whatever miracle had occurred? And I don't want to rehash that. I just want to draw attention to the fact that we've seen this idea of Christ not expressing himself, not drawing attention to himself, is a common theme through the Gospels. But in this instance, in verse 18, just after the healing of Peter's mother-in-law, and then he went outside, maybe a little bit later that day, but he went outside when the evening was come. It says that they brought all these people to Jesus, and he healed every one. And those that were full of the devil, he cast out the devils. And we said, as verse 17 says, that this is a fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. That very instance, that night, was prophesied hundreds of years before by Isaiah. And through the Gospels, we see often that crowds would gather, wanting a touch, wanting to be healed, wanted to be near him, wanted to hear from him, wanted from him. And that's right, and that's good, that's a good thing. But too often the crowds were too much for him. The woman with the issue of blood, when she touched him from behind, he didn't know who it was, and he said, "Hey, who touched me?" And the disciples or whoever said, "Hey, there's so many people here, it says that they're thronging you." And if you've ever been to a concert or something like that with a large crowd, you can get jostled, whatever. That's how it was in that instance. But here, in the passage we're studying today, there were so many people that came to be healed. And Jesus figured out, in verse 18, it says, "Now, when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave commandment to depart to the other side." And just as we asked a little bit ago, why did Jesus tell people to keep quiet about their healing? He finds himself in this big crowd of people, and he says, "Hey, let's get in the boat and go to the other side of the lake." And the question, why did Jesus seek to avoid the crowds? And just as we said a couple of weeks ago, we have an answer from Scripture why he avoided the crowds. In John chapter 6, and it's not just there, but there's the story of the loaves and the fishes, or one of the stories. There's actually two events where, in one case, 5,000 people were fed, and another case, 4,000 were fed. And I'll perhaps talk about that a little bit more later. But if you take time to study all four Gospels, you'll find the story of the loaves and the fishes, where Jesus, he took the bread and blessed it and broke it, or break, and gave. This story, as I said, is in all four Gospels. And it's important, not only in this case, but if you're going to read something in Luke, for instance, how Jesus did that or said this other thing or whatever, it's important to read whatever other tellings there are in another gospel or what have you, in order to get the full picture. Because again, as we said last week, the synoptic gospels, they see things from one perspective, from a human perspective, while the book of John shows Jesus as God. And the synoptics, Matthew shows him as a king. Mark presents Jesus as a servant. And Luke shows him as a man full of the Holy Ghost. But again, this boat story, I like to call it. As you read it, and I'll read John 6, verse 10 through 18 in a second. But as you read it, again in all four Gospels, you get an understanding that helps us to figure out what verse 18 here says, that Jesus, when he saw great multitudes, he commanded to depart, get in the boat, and go to the other side. So let's read John 6, verse 10 through 18. "And Jesus said, 'Make the men sit down.' Now there was much grass in the place. So the men sat down, in number about 5,000. And every time this is taught, it's mentioned that, okay, there were 5,000 men, but there were women and children. So if that's the case, it could have been 10, 15, 20,000 people, all hungry and all fed. And Jesus took the loaves in verse 11, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they could. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. So not only did he feed, by a miracle, 5,000 men, they had left over enough to fill bushels, however big their bushel was. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, This is of a truth, that prophet that should come into the world. And we discussed that prophet last week or the week before, what have you. We said that Moses, and I don't remember the exact chapter it's in, but Moses gave a prophecy that there would be a prophet that would arise, and he would say many things, and many would come unto him and follow him. And obviously, these people were right. Jesus is that prophet that Moses spoke about. But in verse 15, and again, this helps us understand our narrative today. John chapter 6, verse 15. When the people therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. He went into the mountain by himself alone, to pray, to seek the Lord, and to get away from the people. They knew that he was the Messiah, just as Peter had his revelation in Matthew chapter 16, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said that flesh and blood didn't tell him that, didn't reveal it. In other words, he didn't hear it from anybody. But God from heaven by the Holy Ghost told him who Jesus was. And here again we see by the revelation of the Holy Spirit, the people understood that this was the Messiah. This was the prophet. This is the fulfillment of all the Old Testament. He's standing right here. In fact, he just fed us. 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish. This is the one. This is the one. But the people, Jesus understood that they were going to take him and make him a king, which would have gone over really well with Rome. They would have come and instantly, in just a few days or weeks or whatever, they would have come and they would have put it down, that rebellion. They would have arrested Christ and executed him, probably. And we understand that he was. He was arrested by the Jews, tried by the Romans, executed by the Romans. We understand that that's what happened, but it wasn't his time and it wasn't his way. It wasn't time for him to become king, which of course he has never sat on a throne yet. It wasn't time, and it certainly wasn't God's will that the people would try to crown him king. Because as we read last time, I think it was last week, that he's despised and rejected. The rulers rejected him. Isaiah 53 says that he would be rejected. And the prophecy didn't say that he would be crowned king, but that he would be cut off, but not for himself. It was his time to go to the cross. It will be time that Christ take his rightful throne. And soon, as the song says, soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King. He's coming back, in other words. Jesus is coming back. And he'll rule the nations with a rod of iron, that's Revelation chapter 19. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. That's coming. But in our text here, it wasn't time yet. In John chapter 6, after they had been fed by the 5 loaves and 2 fish, it wasn't time. It wasn't time. And it certainly wasn't time for him to be king. He wasn't going to be rushed. And it wasn't God's will and not God's plan that they would make him a king. It was God's plan that he be stripped naked and nailed to a cross for the sins of the world. But to finish out our passage here in John 6, let's read verse 15 again. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come to take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. And when even was now come, we just read that in Matthew chapter 8, when even or evening was now come, his disciples went down to the sea, and it was now dark, and Jesus was not come unto them. And the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. And I don't want to read the whole thing, but if you do, you'll find the disciples got into a boat. They went to the other side, but these 12 baskets full of bread and fish, the leftovers, the barley loaves and maybe a little bit fish, there was left over and they gathered up. They took that basket with them in the boat. And the sea got rough. It says that a great wind blew in verse 18 we just read. And they were all afraid. They thought they were going to die. They thought they were going to drown, what have you. And as they tried to row or bail, they were stumbling over these baskets full of leftover miracle bread. And again, I don't want to chase this rabbit too far. But if you read all 4 Gospels that it tells of this boat story, you'll get an understanding that God's way is to flee the crowds, that God's way is to not draw attention to ourselves if we're able to do something for someone. We're to give God the glory. We're to give God the glory. And that's what Jesus was doing here in John chapter 6 and also our text, Matthew chapter 18. But it says, and I'll read Matthew 18 again and then pick up the narrative. Now when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave commandment to depart unto the other side. Verse 19 through 22. And a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Or wherever you go, Jesus, I'll follow. And Jesus said unto him, The foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man, in other words, Jesus, hath not where to lay his head. His answer applies today. Oh, I'll follow you, Jesus. I'll do this, I'll do that. I'll go. But there's the idea of support. Jesus didn't own a house. He didn't rent an apartment. He stayed a couple of days here, and they went to the next town, and he stayed a couple of nights there, slept on that couch. Sometimes they slept underneath a tree. Oh, you want to follow me? That's great, fantastic. But understand, you have to give of yourself. You have to deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow him. This applies today. There are some that they want to be missionaries. Or maybe they don't want to go to Africa. Maybe they just want to be a pastor. Unless it's a big church, the salary won't be big enough to be able to rent your house or pay your mortgage. It won't be enough. Just about every pastor I know in the group that I'm with, they have a job on the side, the pastor. They may get a little bit, but they can't afford the rent. They can't take care of their wives or their kids or pay the doctor bill or whatever. They have to go get another job. You want to follow me? You want to follow me whithersoever thou goest, you said? Count the cost. Understand that you have to give up in order to be my disciple. You have to give up. You have to sacrifice in order to be his disciple. And in verse 21 and 22, And another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me first, or allow me first to go and bury my father. But Jesus said unto him, Follow me, and let the dead bury their dead. That's kind of rude, you think. Well, maybe it's not. Follow me, Jesus said, and let the dead bury their own dead. You have to leave your old life in order to be his disciple. That affected me when I got saved. I was at LSU, had a bunch of friends. Got saved November 30th, 1984. A couple of my friends, they didn't want to have anything to do with me after that. And when I went back to school in January, all my friends were gone. Everybody I knew, they had moved on. They didn't want to have anything to do with me, a radical born-again Christian. Because the born-again experience is radical to the world. I didn't have to go out and do anything. Just the fact that I didn't do things. I didn't go to the bar. I didn't get stoned anymore. I didn't chase women anymore. I didn't participate in the dirty jokes anymore. And thus, they didn't want to have anything to do with me. Let the dead bury their own dead. Go thou and preach the kingdom of God. I believe that's how Luke puts it. You see, this world is dead. Oh, everybody's alive. Especially here in South Louisiana. Especially here in New Orleans, everybody's alive. There's a festival for this, a festival for that, a season for this, a season for that. There's always some concert. There's always something going on. But the truth is, everyone's dead in their sins. You can have a blast. They say that New Orleans is the one place in the world you can put on 30 pounds and not care. But if you don't know Christ, if your name is not written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, you don't get to go in. You'll miss heaven. John 3:17, if you don't know Christ, if you don't believe in him, you're condemned already. In Luke, and I won't read it, but I said that each of the Gospels, they often tell the same story, but there's a different perspective. But these two questions, Master, I'll follow you wherever you go, and I'll follow you, but let me go take care of stuff back home first. Let me go bury my father, what have you. Luke adds a third case. And again, I won't read it. I won't read it on purpose. Only to tell you that if you want the full picture, you need to read all four Gospels and compare one version and one telling to the other and put them all together and you'll get a good picture. There's a story. It's not true, but there's a story. It goes like this. Somebody heard that there was a guy that he was a pedestrian and he got run over. but there was another version of the story, that the man, he was involved in a car wreck. Well, which is it? Did he get in a car wreck, or was he run over? But it turned out that, yes, and yes, he was a pedestrian, and he got run over. And the ambulance came and put him in the back, and they were going to the hospital, and some idiot didn't see or got distracted or whatever, but plowed into the side of the ambulance. So you see, both perspectives of the story were correct. And I want to exhort you, if you're going to read or study, what have you, you want to understand a passage, see if there's another telling in the other Gospels or in the Old Testament or whatever, study it. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed. Read all of the passages and ask for understanding, and God will show you great things about himself. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.